I would ask you to please turn with me this evening to the chapter that we read, and we're going to have by way of text this evening, verses 27 to 30. So we turn again to Matthew 11, verse 27. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. We read from verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And the subject before us this evening is quite simply the invitation of Jesus. The invitation of Jesus. I want us to look first of all at the person of the invitation. The first point I bring to your attention is the personal nature of this invitation. This invitation comes to us directly from the Lord Jesus, the Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. It is he that says to us this evening, come to me. Come to me. Now, these words are set in the context of unbelief and hardness of heart throughout the region of his ministry. We read in the chapter, and the reason I read all the chapter was to put these words of the Lord Jesus in their correct context. In verse 20, the Lord Jesus said, then we read that he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. And he goes on to say, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, and so forth. And so these verses are set in the context of unbelief and hardness of heart, even under the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was preaching the gospel. He was exhorting men and women to repentance. Does this not reveal to us this evening something of the incredible nature of unbelief? If the perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is preaching, and even when the perfect man, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is preaching, not everyone was converted. In fact, many still rejected the Lord Jesus. This is what he is saying here. You did not repent. And he rebuked these cities. And it's speaking to us here of the awesome nature of unbelief. The religious leaders were themselves adamantly opposed to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it is in this setting of unbelief and rejection we read of the remarkable teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in this prayer, which is recorded for us from verse 25. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. These wise and prudent people who'd rejected the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was hidden from them because they were proud of themselves. They were self-sufficient. They didn't think they needed to know a real and proper personal relationship with God through a Savior, through the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Lord. So there are two things that Jesus is praying, thanking his Father specifically for. Two things. He has thanked his Father for hiding these things from those who are proud and for revealing these wonderful message of the gospel to the babes, to those who realize their dependence. So he is actually thanking his Father for hiding from the proud and those dependent on their own religious wisdom. And yet, secondly, he's thanking the Father for revealing his grace in Christ to those who are humbly dependent upon him, who come as babes wanting to learn. Jesus had already said in his ministry here on earth, except you become as little children, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, dear friends, are we too proud to become a little child before the Lord Jesus this evening? Are we too proud to humble ourselves and come to the Lord Jesus and acknowledge that everything about you is dependent upon the Lord Jesus? It's only Jesus that can help you. It's only Jesus that can do you good. It's only Jesus that can deliver you from your sin and from your unbelief and rebellion. It's only Jesus that can do this for you. But you have to come as a little baby. I'm not talking physically here. I'm talking in our mind. And this speaks to us of dependence upon the Lord Jesus. And following this prayer, we then have the revelation of the God-given authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he goes on to say, in verse 27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. And so the Lord Jesus is revealing to us this evening that he is the anointed one of God the Father in the business of salvation and the church. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. All things. He is the anointed one of God. Secondly, it is revealed to us here this evening in these words of the Lord Jesus that he has the closest eternal union possible with the Father on the throne. No one knows the Son except the Father, and nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So this is talking about union here. This is talking about this eternal union between God the Father and God the Son, a most remarkable union, an eternal union, a perfect union. In fact, there's a perfect union between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But specifically, the union between Father and Son is revealed here. And it is said in the theological language that Christ, as it were, is in the very bosom of the Father. It's so close. He knows the Father. The Father knows the Son. And there's this wonderful, perfect, eternal union between them. And this is revealed to us this evening in God's word to encourage us to come to this Savior, Jesus Christ. We can come to the Father through the Son, we are encouraged this evening to do so. And thirdly, the third revelation that Jesus gives to us this evening is about the sovereignty of God, the Father, working through the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And so the dispensation of salvation according to God's sovereignty comes to this world through the Son, through God the Son. And so we have these revelations this evening, these amazing truths about Jesus, the Son of God. He is the anointed one. He has the closest eternal union as the Son of God with the Father and the Spirit on the throne, and the very dispensation of salvation according to God's sovereignty has been given to the Son. Therefore, the Lord Jesus is able and he's willing to save you from the eternal consequences of your sin, from the bottomless darkness of hell, which is what we deserve by nature. This Jesus, this Savior, this Lord, this second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus, is able and willing to save. And he's able and willing because of his work upon Calvary's cross to give you full and free forgiveness. Because his work on Calvary is a finished work. It is finished. God's justice is satisfied. God is well pleased with the work of his only beloved Son. This Lord Jesus here spoken of and speaking to us is able and willing to provide atonement for our sin, reconciliation with God, thus making peace with God. He's able and willing to make you a new creature within, wherein you have a desire to walk in God's way. He's able and willing to strengthen you to serve God in the way of holiness, to be a blessing to a needy world. Oh, dear friends, this evening, John Newton, the one that was so amazed by grace, he wrote many hymns, and this was one of the hymns he wrote on this very subject of coming to the Lord Jesus and having the highest estimation of who you are coming to, the one who has given the invitation. This is Jesus. And listen to what he has to say. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. With my burden I begin, Lord, remove this load of sin, let thy blood for sinners spill, set my conscience free from guilt. Lord, I come to thee for rest, take possession of my heart, there thy blood-bought right maintain, and without a rival reign. While I am a pilgrim here, let thy love my spirit cheer. As my guide, my guard, my friend, lead me to my journey's end. Show me what I have to do, every hour my strength renew. Let me live a life of faith, let me die thy people's death. This is the king you're coming to, and this is what the king can do for you. So, we have spoken at the outset and sought to magnify the glorious name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. This is the one given the invitation. This is the person of the invitation. But secondly, who is the Lord Jesus inviting to come? He says quite clearly, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Well, this wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be preached to all the world, and sinners are exhorted to repent and come to him. It is those touched by this wonderful message of the gospel that these words of Jesus will bring light and hope this evening. For here the words of Jesus are making a specific application to those who realize they have a need. This is one of the great works of grace, one of the great first works of grace in a person's life. They come to see, I have a need. I have a pressing need. In fact, it's such a need, it will not go away. I wake up in the morning and I have this need to know that I'm right with God. I have this need to know I am saved. I have this need to know Jesus, that my sins are forgiven. And so we look at this invitation in its gospel sense. As the gospel is preached with the warning and the answer of God to that warning in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit attends the message, and light begins to dawn upon our soul, and it reveals the cause of our struggle, the nature of our struggle, why it is we are so burdened, why it is that we are so heavy laden. why it is that we're laboring in life, that we're not getting satisfaction in life, that we're becoming disillusioned with life, that we're becoming to see the vanity of this world, and the light begins to dawn upon our souls, and this world isn't this bright thing that we thought it was, that all that the world has to offer in its worldliness no longer is so attractive as it was, and we are laboring. And the problem is within our hearts. We are laboring against God in sin, and we come to realize that we are not right with God. And we realize that far from giving us liberty, actually sin is making our life heavy going. As we become further entangled into it. And Jesus is even more specific. He said, all you who labor and you're heavy laden. And there is a realization that this burden within our hearts is weighing us down. It's hindering our lives. And Jesus says to such this evening, come to me. Come to me. But I want us to look in its religious setting also. There's three aspects to this invitation that we could consider. There is a second application, not only in the gospel sense for needy sinners like me and like you, but there's another setting that this is very applicable to. In its religious setting, Jesus is speaking here to a people who are bowed down by religious rules and regulations. At the time, it was described as the yoke of the Torah. There was this book of rules and regulations, and it was getting longer and longer. And the Sabbath was no longer a delight. It had become a burden to the people, and they were weighed down with all these religious rules. And the religious leaders sought to empower themselves and control the people by adding more regulation. And so the people coming to the services were burdened, they were heavy laden with all this regulation. To such, Jesus says, come to me, come to me. And the third application of this invitation can actually be to believers this evening. It is common for believers serving the Lord to become weary in doing well. There are various reasons for this, but Jesus gives us a sure and certain answer to this problem. In the letter to the Hebrews we read, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Satan wants us to become discouraged. What is the answer? Consider him. Well, there are times when temptations and trials and persecutions oppress the believer so that we labor and we are heavy laden. And Jesus says to such this evening, quite simply, come to me. Come to me. It's like rebooting our spiritual life. It's like refocusing. It's like getting out that telescope and refocusing upon that star that you were looking at. And we need spiritually to refocus upon the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who says to us this evening, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I will give you rest. This is his promise to those who come. Now, the rest that Jesus is speaking of here is not the same as sleeping or relaxing on a settee or on a sunbed. The rest Jesus speaks of here is a rest within your soul. It actually can mean here Jesus saying, I will rest you. If you come to me, I will rest you. I will rest you. How does Jesus rest us? Well, here are some of the ways. we are given peace in our heart because we have peace with God in Christ Jesus. This burden is dealt with by the Lord Jesus, and we realize that the government of our life is not upon our shoulders. It's upon the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith rests on his promises, and it finds quietness and confidence in him. And we are given a deliverance from being driven people to being a led people by the love of God. It is a rest from the inner idol of self and selfishness. It is a rest from despair and uncertainty and fear and anxiety. It is a rest that comes from the realization, as I said before, that the government is on Christ's shoulders, not ours. It is a rest that is a fruit of knowing our lives are in the eternal care of God, who is all wise and love. We follow the instruction of the Word of God to be still and know that God is God. Be still and know that I am God, we are told. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. And the rest is found in a person. It's not found in a religion. It's found in a person. This is his promise to those who come. I will give you rest. But then what are his instructions to those who come? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. In those days, a yoke was placed upon a person's shoulders to carry goods. It was so designed to rest on the shoulders and provide the load to be split either side of the body, this was the most comfortable way of carrying a load, the most suitable way. But Jesus is speaking in the context of the religious leaders were placing such a heavy burden of works upon the people, they were heavy laden. And consequently, they were being chafed by the yoke of too heavy a burden. But of course this is true when we consider also the whole nature and the problem of sin in our life. This is what happens. We become burdened and we become weighed down with it all. And this yoke of sin, it's ruining our life. And so Jesus simply says here this evening, trust in me and submit your life by faith under my lordship, under my yoke. And instead of being driven by rules and regulation, by hardness and unbelief, and the world, and perhaps the fear of the condemnation of the law, you will be following the Lord Jesus, who will ensure your well-being for time and eternity. And to take the yoke of Jesus means to trust him and obey him and learn about him. This is the way Jesus said this yoke is going to be easy and my burden is going to become light. The more you learn of Jesus, the more your life gets into perspective, and the greater peace you will have. Because you are walking with a person who is gentle. You are walking with a person who is meek, who is lowly in heart, who is perfectly humble. I am gentle, and I am lowly in heart. I'm not like other men. I'm gentle with you. I'm meek in heart. I'm humble. And his way with you will be meek. It will be gentle. It will be humble in the way of truth and love. And so the true Christian way is the way of humility. as we follow the Lord Jesus and we take on his yoke and we become deeply aware of our dependence upon God's grace. Now this word humility, this word lowly here, and also having the meaning of humility, gentle and lowly in heart, it was a new concept in that day. It was a new philosophy of life. Humility in Jewish, Greek and Roman culture was shameful. It was viewed as weak. Only when Christ came did the true meaning of humility find its real home, find its true meaning, and become an essential part of the walk of holiness. And as far as the Christian is concerned, to be humble is to understand your own littleness before God. To be humble, it is to come to that point of faith where you realize your utter dependence upon Christ for all. It's not the Lord Jesus and some of your wisdom and some of your decision making in and of yourself and some of your own ambitions and idea of life. It's not part Jesus, part self. It's all of Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. It's truly casting all your care upon God because he cares for you. And Jesus is teaching here in the context of giving us rest and us finding rest for our souls that the way that we come to this wonderful position of walking with Jesus is learning from him. The Christian life is all about learning. Now, by God's grace, I've been in the way about 45 years now. 45 years in the Pilgrim Way. And I've still got so much to learn about the Lord Jesus. So much to learn about the Lord Jesus. There's so much more to learn about his glorious character. And here, to learn about the gentleness of Jesus and the humility of Jesus. He's encouraging us to come this evening, to come to him, to take his yoke upon us, because he is gentle with you. And he's humble with you. And that, I mean, the way he deals with us is the way of he humbled himself. This is what it says about the Lord Jesus in Philippians chapter 3, chapter 2, where he humbled himself while here upon earth. He was rejected of sinners. He was acquainted with grief. He knew the walk of humility in a perfect way. When we think of the amazing condescension of God in Christ Jesus, to visit us with salvation, to commune with us through the Holy Spirit, to reveal his love to us in the very person of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. But as you do so, you understand that you will constantly be in the school of Christ. You will be a learner. And once we grasp that we've never made it in the Christian life, that we're learning, and we're walking with him, we're finding out something of his glorious character, Jesus said, you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls by learning of Jesus, learning about him. The more we learn about Jesus, the greater that inner peace will be in our hearts. The great academics of the time, they taught that learning brought restlessness in the mind so that you were ever learning. What they taught was the more you learn, the more you want to learn. But they saw it in the context of a restlessness of the mind. They were ever learning but never coming to the truth. But Jesus teaches the opposite here. He says, learn of me, keep learning of me, and you will find rest for your souls. This is where we're going to find it. To truly take the yoke of given to us freely by Jesus is to learn of him. It is to know him as a person and follow him as Lord. And only by trusting him and knowing him and following Jesus will you find rest for your souls. Finally this evening, his promise to those that do come and take on his yoke by faith and obedience and learn of him. He says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, in what way is this true for those who follow Jesus? I want us to beware of misunderstanding what Jesus is meaning here. Because the Christian experience of life is often anything but easy. So we must understand what Jesus means here when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because quite often the Christian, we know, must through much tribulation enter the kingdom. It's a battle. It's a struggle at times in and of ourselves. So what does Jesus mean here? Well, the word easy in the original, as it was given, has a fuller meaning of being good for you. His yoke is good for you. His yoke is suitable for you. His yoke is serviceable for you in every condition of life. There is no situation in life this evening that you may be in where the Lord Jesus Christ is not the most suitable person for you to go to and for trust in him for that situation. The word easy here has the fuller meaning of good, suitable, serviceable, the best provision for you. You see, by coming to Jesus and taking his yoke provided for us by faith and following him, we are liberated from the heaviness of the condemnation of the law because we follow a law of love. We're free from the heavy bondage of man-made regulations in religion. We're liberating from the heavy burden of living for self. There is an experience of inner joy and peace that is not dependent upon circumstances. There are refreshing truths of God's promises to lighten the load. Friends, the world know nothing of this. They have cancer, they have trials, they have tribulations, they have issues that they can't cope with, they have tragedies in their life. But in one sense, it's far worse for them. The grief is compounded because they've got nowhere to go, or they think they've got nowhere to go. They have no promises like you to rest upon. They have no promises to go to in the Word of God and say, this is what I'm trusting in. My circumstances say one thing, but God's Word says another thing. And my responsibility as a Christian believer is to trust what God says. And this makes this eases the situation in my life. Think of those of you who are in the Pilgrim Way, and you've had a problem in your life, a serious problem, a serious issue in your life. Just think what it would have been like without Jesus. Whatever would it have been like without Jesus in your life. But with Jesus in your life, he brings you through. He's going before you. He's dealing and communion, and he's helping you. He's strengthening you. He's protecting you. He's securing you. Because that's who Jesus is. For his people. There is an assurance that our lives through many changes go. His love, no variation knows. And God's promises can even lighten the load. It can be difficult to accept this truth in when we're despondent, despairing, and we're perhaps in a depressed situation. But the answer to that problem is not to doubt the truth of God's love, but to follow the teaching of the statement of Jesus here. This is what he says to you this evening. Come to me. You cannot do this on your own. You cannot cope with this trial on your own. You cannot sort this situation on your own. You cannot deal with your sin on your own. You cannot deal with this trial on your own. So you need to come. This teaching is profoundly helpful to all who follow Jesus, because he is the wise physician of souls. So much help is found in simply coming to Jesus and casting all your care upon him. He is the wise physician of souls. And this teaching of Jesus is not just for the well-being of your soul, dear friend. That's wonderful, but it's even more than that. It's about the well-being of your mind and your body and your physical heart. So much stress is caused in our life. By not trusting in the Lord Jesus, we'll still have trials and tribulations, but our whole well-being is so helped when we're trusted in Jesus in this situation. Following the Lord Jesus is good, absolutely, for our soul, but it is actually good for the well-being of all, our soul, our mind, our body. Stress is one of the greatest problems in the facing society today, and its best cure is not actually found in medication that may help, or therapy. But there's an even better medicine this evening. The medicine is faith in Jesus. It doesn't mean to say that the problem will be taken away, but you'll have someone with you in the problem, bringing you through the problem, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so Jesus says this evening, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest in the person of the Lord Jesus, the promises of God, the salvation of God in Jesus Christ, the eternal security in Christ Jesus. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, only in Christ Jesus.